You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Hello there, and welcome to another live broadcast of TPC. I'm your host, James Edwards, this Memorial Day weekend, Saturday, May the 27th, year of our Lord 2023. Well, let's just get specific about that. It's Yankee Memorial Day, but it is Memorial Day nevertheless. And every year around this time, I have to ask myself, how many of those sacrifices, how many of those lives were taken to advance America's vital interests? How many of those wars that America has participated in were just wars? And I think you have to go back quite a way to find one that was worthy of the United States military's participation. You go back to the Revolutionary War, maybe. I'll give you the Revolutionary War because I look at that, and if we had remained a part of the United Kingdom, we had remained a part of Great Britain, we'd be a little bit worse off today than we are now. At least momentarily, maybe hanging by a thread and by a string, but dissidents aren't put into jail for telling the truth about certain topics. You are in prison for speaking your mind in Europe. So at least we've got the First and Second Amendment a little bit here still in this country. So I'll give you the Revolutionary War. I'll give you the War of 1812, the Mexican War, the War between the States if you fought for the Southern side, and the Indian Wars. Beyond that, I don't think there was any war America should have participated in. That includes both world wars. I agree with Pat Buchanan. I agreed with Pat when he was on this show to talk about his book, Churchill, Hitler, and the Unnecessary War. We don't cover a lot of World War II stuff on this program. But that was one time that we did, and I agree with it. Although, you know, the anniversary of D-Day is next week, and I have half a mind to revisit that interview that we did with Pat about World War II, and we may just do that next week. But I think at the end of the day, you would have to agree that if an army can't cross the English Channel, they're not going to be crossing the Atlantic, and they're not going to be liquidating Christianity and doing all of that stuff. But the more recent wars, especially Vietnam, Iraq, Afghanistan, I mean, what are you talking about? Old friend and co-host who was on this program for years, I asked him, he was a medic in Vietnam, Eddie, was a medic, and I said, Eddie, what do you think you were fighting for over there? And he said, he deadpanned. I mean, a perfect delivery without blinking, the military-industrial complex. So, yeah, that's right. Yeah, if there was ever a cause to have actually had a military action, you'd have to consider it was when the USS Liberty was attacked. But not only did we not do anything about that, we actually sided with the people who attacked and killed so many of those sailors. And we've interviewed a lot of those sailors on this program in the subsequent years, and believe me, they're still bitter about that. But in any event, it is Memorial Day, a federal holiday in the United States, so Wikipedia tells me, for honoring and mourning the United States military personnel who have died while serving in the United States Armed Forces, always observed on the last Monday in May. Yes, I mourn the ones who have died, surely, but I also mourn the fact, the reasons why they were sent. I told you, well, I'll get to this in just a second, but one of the Confederate Navy, not Navy bases, one of the Confederate Army bases was renamed again this week. Fort Benning was renamed, but it was actually renamed for a guy that we knew. It's now called Fort Moore for Lieutenant General Harold G. Hal Moore. Hal Moore. Mel Gibson played his character in the movie We Were Soldiers. Now, that's one I don't ever want to see a Confederate base renamed or a base named for a Confederate hero to be renamed. But if it has to be, that's better than Fort Harvey Milk, which is what I was expecting, or for some no-name black lesbian or something, which was what you would expect. But Fort Hal Moore, we interviewed Hal Moore on this program. Mel Gibson played his character in the movie We Were Soldiers. We actually interviewed Hal Moore on this show many, many years ago. And I remember something that he said, hate war, but love the American warrior. And I can get behind that to an extent. But the thing is, the military hates the American warrior. At least the typical American warrior, which is a white Southern male, they hate you. They hate you. We have to starve this military. We have to starve this system. And they don't make warriors like Hal Moore, the first man on the ground in that legendary battle in Vietnam, the last one to leave. If you haven't seen the movie, watch the movie if you haven't read about it. But interestingly, not only have we interviewed Hal Moore on the show, we've interviewed Mel Gibson's father. So there's the Gibson connection. We interviewed him a couple of times. It made a lot of news, those interviews did. Entertainment Tonight and all the stuff, the Hollywood tabloids. But he never backed down, defended his appearances on the program. Great guy. Stayed in touch with him until the end. But they don't make warriors like Hal Moore anymore. I was doing a TV shoot. I've told you this story before, up in Nashville for a Warner Brothers production some years ago, and a company of soldiers came out of a dining establishment, and it was all non-white and mostly female in their fatigues, walking as a unit. And it was, I was like, I looked, we were taking a break from the taping, and I looked at that, and I was like, you know, what Twilight Zone is this? What episode did I get put into? What episode are we taping today? But anyway. Hey, by the way, you know, we're talking about Memorial Day. You probably don't know this, and you wouldn't know this if you relied on the mainstream media for your daily bread, but Confederate soldiers, sailors, and Marines who fought in the War of Northern Aggression were actually made U.S. veterans by an act of Congress in 1957. That was U.S. Public Law 85-425 Section 410, which was approved by Congress on May the 23rd of 1958. This made all Confederate veterans equal to U.S. military veterans, but I digress about that as I talk about Memorial Day here today. Got to starve the military. Got to starve the system. They hate you. Why would you want to fight for such a corrupt and degenerate country? I mean, if you defend your land, defend your home, defend your hearts and firesides and your people, but I'm not so sure that's what our army has in mind, and especially how they're being misused. That does not take away the gallantry and the valor and the sacrifice that these people have given. There's no doubt about that. I lay the blame, though, for their sacrifices. These color revolutions, these regime changes, these occupational armies that we have now, that's not what they were meant to be. And they were meant to be more than that. But in any event, we got a big show for you tonight. We've got two of our Lions, two of the Lions, both Peter Brimelow and Jared Taylor, coming up in tandem tonight. Peter will be with us right here after this opening break, and then Jared Taylor of American Renaissance will be back with us to talk about his rather abbreviated trip to Europe that he just made, and much more. Peter Brimelow will be on to talk about... Well, he's going to sound an important alarm. We want you to know what's going on. Big news there at the Vidare Castle, and Peter will be on to tell us all about that. Now, one more announcement before we get to our featured guest, and such esteemed guests they are, is the fact that we will be kicking off, TPC will be kicking off, our always important quarterly fundraising drive. The second quarter fundraising drive is going to kick off on June the 1st. So before, I'm going to go ahead and get this announcement out of the way. We're going to get to business tonight. Before we reconvene together next Saturday night, you will have, if you are an established donor, we'll have received our second quarter fundraising appeal. We've got some fantastic incentive gift offers for you this quarter. So take a look at that. And in the meantime, sit back and relax and enjoy the show. Peter Brimelow up next.
The Honorable Cause of Free South is a collection of 12 essays written by Southern nationalist authors. The book explores topics such as what is the Southern nation, what is Southern nationalism, and how can we achieve a free and independent Dixie. The Honorable Cause answers questions on our own terms. The book invites readers to understand for themselves why a free and independent Dixie is both preferable and possible. The book pulls in some of the biggest producers of pro-South content, including James Edwards, the host and creator of The Political Cesspool, and Wilson Smith, author of Charlottesville Untold, Arkansas congressional candidate and activist Neil Kumar, host and creator of the Dissident Mama podcast, Rebecca Dillingham, author of A Walk in the Park, My Charlottesville Story, Identity Dixie's Patrick Martin, and yours truly, Michael Hill, founder and president of the League of the South, as well as several other authors. The Honorable Cause is available now at Amazon.com.
Matthew 24:24 teaches us that the church is deceived today. Deceived Christians call themselves Judeo-Christians. Around 1900, Jews commissioned the Scofield Reference Bible, which transformed the Jews from Christian killers to the chosen people. Here's the truth. America is in the Bible. Revelation 21. Our form of government came down from heaven. Verse 3. The many Christian ministers at the Constitutional Convention sought God's will. The God-given rights in the Constitution were ordained by God. America is the new promised land for Christian Israel, and Christians are the true chosen people. True Israel is Christian. Listen to Jesus, quote, "My sheep follow me," unquote, and, quote, "You do not believe because you are not my sheep," unquote. John 10:25-27. The beast has transformed America into the woman mystery Babylon, Revelation chapter 17. For the complete Bible study, write to Christian Knuckles, P.O. Box 210813, Royal Palm Beach, Florida 33421.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the first of two absolutely heavyweight guests is now on the line with us, my old friend Peter Brimelow, the founder and editor-in-chief of VDare.com, author of the best-selling book Alien Nation, Common Sense About America's Immigration Disaster, and so much more. We'll give you a little bit more of Peter's bio as the interview rolls on, but he's back tonight for a different reason, not to provide his prescient commentary on the issues of the day, but rather to sound a very important alarm. I would encourage you to read more about the situation that he is about to paint a verbal picture of by going to VDare.com and taking a look at the article at the very top of the feed there, and you can apprise yourself of the situation. But, Peter, first of all, welcome back to the show. It's always great to talk to you. I wish it was under better circumstances, though.
Thanks for having me, James. We really appreciate it.
Well, it's absolutely the least I could do, and I couldn't do it quickly enough. So lawfare, this is something, the tentacles of lawfare have been growing. I think that the Charlottesville civil trial was really a great test case to see how far frivolous charges could get down the road in the legal system and in the courts. And since then, there you have seen a proliferation of lawfare, and we'll touch on some of the other cases where people have been damaged in such a way. But let's talk about your situation with VDare. Take all the time you need, Peter, to walk us through this, and then I'll chime in with questions and comments as appropriate.
Well, you know, James, the fact is that law enforcement, the legal system, the judicial system in the U.S. has completely collapsed. It's become completely politicized. Our problem is that the VDare.com website, it's supported by the VDare Foundation, which is a 501c3 charity, which unfortunately is registered in New York State. That's something we did more than 25 years ago before the reign of terror began. And the woman who the Attorney General in New York, Letitia James, who is the woman who's persecuting Trump, has attacked us. What she's doing is she's not alleged any wrongdoing, but she's simply she has oversight over charities, and she's demanding, she's subpoenaing more and more documents from us. She's basically beating us to death with subpoenas without actually having to make any specific allegation. The managerial state just has ways of crushing people to dissent that it doesn't like. We've supplied over 7,000 documents, and eventually it became obvious that the whole thing was just in bad faith. So we sued them in federal court because of this clear attack on our First Amendment rights. The problem, the only thing she says is, you know, we bought this castle, the VDare.com castle, the Burgess Springs castle, I'm sorry, in Burgess Springs, West Virginia, because we wanted to hold conferences. And we discovered that we can't hold conferences because every time we book one, the left goes to work, yelling and screaming, and the hotels panic and cancel. So this has happened like 10, 15 times over the last five years or so.
You're talking about I'm sorry, Peter, for the interruption, but just to make it clear for the audience, you're talking about when you would previously attempt to have conferences at public hotels, which you know, should have been your right as a law-abiding citizen.
Right. What happens is the hotels are run by Americans who think that we live in a free country. And they'll say, oh, yes, we have lots of controversial conferences. We tell them, we warn them, this is going to be a problem. Oh, we have lots of controversial conferences. Well, you once had a Right to Life conference. And then, of course, when the uproar starts, the suits who, you know, the corporate suits who control the hotels order them to cancel. And they do cancel. Even though in our case, you know, our contract is set up, so they really have to pay. They have to pay us liquidated damages, which is very substantial. But they don't hesitate to do that because they're so frightened of the left, of the totalitarian left we have in this country. So we bought this castle, and so we're under attack. The particular thing that's particularly infuriating to me is that they're saying that you know, we bought this castle to enrich ourselves. Well, of course, it's completely untrue. We moved from our home. We sold our home in Connecticut. We moved down here to West Virginia. We rent a property on the castle grounds that we pay rent for. It's simply and solely because we want to be able to have conferences. And one of the things that Letitia James is doing is she tells the courts when she's trying to get them to continue to allow this subpoena attack that we've transferred assets to we've done this to enrich ourselves. We've transferred assets to ourselves personally, but it's completely untrue. The documents are quite clear that various reorganizations we've made they're all within the ambit of the VDA Foundation. She just lies about it. Now, the thing about this, James, is, you know, you and I are used to people lying. We're used to politicians lying. We're used to journalists lying. But lawyers can't lie, and particularly not if they're public officials, attorney generals, because they're what's called officers of the court, and they're supposed to tell the judge things that are true and not lie to the judge. And she's been doing that. So, of course, what we're going to do is we're filing a complaint against her with the New York State Bar Association, and we want to get a sanction and ultimately disbarred. I know that sounds completely impossible, but, you know, it did happen with the prosecutor who tried to get himself reelected with the Duke the rape hoax. It's completely fallacious. But he went and made all kinds of lying assertions to the court because he wanted to whip up the black voters in Durham, North Carolina, and get himself reelected. And he was disbarred for it. And the same thing has happened to the prosecutor in St. Louis, the McCloskeys sued the McCloskeys. They're trying to defend themselves against Antifa. Do you remember
that? That's another one.
She's been disbarred. So it can happen, and we
that's encouraging.
But it's going to be. Yeah. Well, you know, the thing about the left generally is they operate in another world morally. They live in a world of complete moral fantasy. They think that you and I are members of the Ku Klux Klan. They think that there are thousands and thousands of black people being murdered by cops every year, which of course is total nonsense. But they believe this. And they believe they can say whatever they want, and that applies to these lawyers. These lawyers think that these elected officials in New York City, New York State, live in a world of moral fantasy, and they think they can say whatever they want. And it never occurs to them that there are regulations. Now, of course, they can think that because the media is not going to hold them responsible. But we're going to do our best to hold them responsible. And by the way, while I'm on this subject, Jay,
go ahead,
we're
please.
Having our summer conference this year in June, and Steve Saylor is speaking, and John Darbish is speaking, you know, and we have various other guests speaking some of whom will not be announced in public because of the reign of terror. And I urge everybody to sign up while you can. I think we have about 15 or 20 places left.
It's certainly
going to be there, and.
A Fab Four.
Just go to VDAR and look for the ad. I'm sorry, James. Go ahead.
No. Take all the time you need, my friend. You're the guest. But it's certainly a Fab Four here. I'm looking at the 2023 conference, which is related to what Peter was talking about a moment ago, because it was one of the reasons that the VDAR Foundation purchased this particular property. They had found themselves banned from exercising their right to free speech and assembly by being able, you know, I thought that's what the so-called civil rights movement was all about, so they could eat at the same lunch counter so they could get a room at the same motel, but our people can't. I mean, completely law-abiding. I don't want to hear anything about Peter Brimelow being an extremist. Peter Brimelow is about the most mainstream guy I've met in this movement. Another one's coming up next, Jared Taylor. I mean, these guys are the real deal in the top dresser drawer. To lump them in with ne'er-do-wells and people that would cause some sort of a damage to the reputation of a hotel is a complete fabrication by the media. But because the hotels caved to this pressure, they are private companies. So I guess you could say, well, they're private companies. They can choose whom and whom not to serve. But, I mean, really, can they? But in any event, apparently they can, because they will cancel these contracts. You know, and it's not just saying, no, we can't have
well,
you here. We get back.
Back up a second, James. Our quarrel, my wife Lydia, who basically runs the organization here, the quarrel is not with the hotels. They can cancel, but they have to pay for it. It's the break contract. They have to pay a certain price for it. What's really infuriating is that in the case of the Colorado Springs conference, they canceled because the mayor of Colorado Springs refused to extend police protection, and that's a clear violation of the
heckler's veto.
And it was litigated to death during the civil rights era, and it was so clear that what Colorado Springs lawyer took the case on, our First Amendment case, First Amendment
Peter,
against the mayor.
Hold on right there, my friend. We're coming up
go.
On the first break. Yeah, I guess technically they can cancel. I mean, obviously they can, and they do, and they get away with it, and they pay you a sum, but at the same time, you're still being robbed of your ability to host a conference of law-abiding citizens in the land of the free and the home of the brave, which led you to purchasing this property that is under the attack of the Attorney General of the state of New York. We'll refocus on that when we come back. Stay tuned.
Your daily Liberty News Wire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Jerry Varnish. House Republicans and the White House are said to be closing in on a deal to raise the debt ceiling. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy told reporters he's confident an agreement will be reached in time to avoid a government default. As for President Biden, before heading to Camp David for the Memorial Day weekend, he said a deal is, quote, very close. Texas lawmakers on Saturday voted to impeach State Attorney General Ken Paxton, who has been temporarily removed over allegations of misconduct that range from bribery to abuse of office. The Texas Senate will conduct a trial. Permanent removal requires two-thirds of senators' support. Vice President Kamala Harris is making history by delivering the commencement address to cadets at the U.S. Military Academy at West Point.
Cadets, global security and global prosperity depend on the leadership of the United States of America. And a strong America remains indispensable to the world.
This July marks the 47th anniversary of women being admitted to West Point. We're in the middle of one of the busiest travel periods of the year. FlightAware says more than 1,000 flights already are delayed for tomorrow, with more than 200 flights canceled. Atlanta's Hartsfield International Airport saw its third most amount of travelers on Friday, as the TSA says they screened more than 97,000 passengers, including crew members.
Some 10 million passengers are expected to pass through airports across the USA over Memorial Day weekend. Right there with them at LAX is this woman headed to Japan who talked with KTLA.
I haven't seen them for about 3 years.
Air travel for the holiday weekend is back to its highest level in over 3 years. I'm Jeremy Scott.
This is USA News.
So, you need life insurance, right? Protection for your family? But who has time to meet with an agent? You're busy. But what if there was a better way? A way to protect your family, your loved ones, make sure you can send your kids to college, keep the family home, no matter what happens? Well, you can. With no agent visit, no medical exam, no blood work, none of the stuff that makes life insurance a hassle. Go to ethosliferadio.com. That's ethosliferadio.com. Ethos Life Radio is a 100% online buying platform for life insurance powered by Ethos. We match you after a simple online interview with a life insurance insurance policy that matches your needs at the best price. EthosLifeRadio.com shops your policy to over 100 carriers instantly to get you the best price. And best of all, EthosLifeRadio.com is a marketplace. This is not a lead source. Your information will not just be sold with endless emails, calls, and texts. We give you the opportunity to buy life insurance online. Simple. In less than 15 minutes online. With no medical exam if you qualify. Do the right thing for your family today. Go to EthosLifeRadio.com. EthosLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. I want to encourage you to go to vdare.com. There you can do many things, but two of which I want to impress upon you right now. Number one, check out that 2023 summer conference. We mentioned it's a Fab Four lineup, but there's more than just the Fab Four. But the Fab Four does include Peter Brimelow himself, James Kirkpatrick, John Derbyshire, and Steve Saylor. Now, it's hard to get much better than that, and you'll be on the beautiful grounds of the VDare Estate, and you can sign up tonight. So go to VDare.com and do that. And while you're there, be sure to check out what Peter Brimelow is calling a mortal threat. This includes what he's talking about is what he painted a picture of just a moment ago, the New York Attorney General Letitia James going after VDare for reasons that aren't entirely known. I think, obviously, what we're seeing here is another manifestation of lawfare that seeks to just drown VDare in legal work and legal bills that are going to bleed some of the funding. This isn't a lavishly funded organization when compared to their counterparts on the left and even the conservative establishment. And it seems to, I guess, though, am I reading this right, Peter? And you did a good job of breaking it down in the first segment. People can read it much more extensively at VDare. It'll all be there in front of you in black and white. You can read through this whole sordid affair. But it seems to involve the fact that VDare Foundation funds were used to buy what you are using as your headquarters and as a conference center. Yes, you and your family sometimes are there at the property, maybe sometimes sleep there or whatever, live on a cottage somewhere on the grounds. But, you know, is that supposed to be a big deal? Because I'm looking, I mean, what you paid for that with what real estate is now, you can't hardly find a fishing shack for less than $250,000. You couldn't get a run-of-the-mill apartment in Washington, D.C. for what you paid for this. And it gives you a place where you can have conferences unencumbered. And so I don't really see the problem. But, of course, there isn't a problem. The left is banking on the fact that in a jurisdiction like New York, they can come up with the flimsiest of pretenses to go after dissidents, to go after people who are pushing back against the narrative. And in your case, Peter, an immigration patriot. And with their hope is, of course, to put us out of business. Am I right? Did I get that correct?
That's right. I mean, they obviously are astonished that we've been able to. They've never actually alleged anything against us. They just continue to demand more and more documents, which are extremely expensive to produce. For example, they want all of our email, millions and millions of emails over the last 20 years. To do that, we have to redact them. We have to go through the email and make sure that we're not betraying any donors or writers. So that's an extremely expensive thing to do. They just expect us to run out of money. And on the legal side, we do have very generous legal donors. But on the other hand, we're running out of money editorially because so much of our time has been taken up with this, and we've not been able to do our usual fundraising appeals. So you know, they can just bleed you to death, and that's what they're doing. And that's why we've gone to federal courts. Well, I've gone to federal court. I said this is an attack on our First Amendment rights. We hope that the federal court will see that.
And of course, these people are very knowledgeable in their way to manipulate the system and continue to drag things out in a way that just causes insufferable financial pain for the people that they are targeting.
The process is the punishment is the way it's put.
That's right. That's an excellent way to word it. You worded it very excellent. The process is the punishment. Is there a chance that this actually goes before a jury? Is that the end game here?
We've got nowhere close to that now. They're just demanding documents. Now, on the other hand, we are in federal court, and a federal judge will rule on it shortly. So that if we're really lucky, that will knock them out. You know, but our experience with courts is very bad. So and yours is too, James, isn't it? Go ahead.
Well, let's just paint.
The legal system in this country is complete. The legal system in this country is complete collapse. The entire nomenclature, the entire ruling class, there's been a communist coup, and the country's been run by leftist totalitarians. And that applies to people like Letitia James. They have no concept of law. They have no concept of due process. They just have a concept of power. That they can just crush all their opponents and nobody will stop them. And that's what's going on here.
Well, let's just look at the field right now as it stands with regards to how our people have fared in lawsuits, whether they be the plaintiffs or the defendants. I mean, you mentioned my case, and it's been talked about a lot over the years here, but I think it is an interesting one because we had the textbook definition of libel on our side, and I was the plaintiff against the Detroit News. The textbook definition of libel was to allege that someone was a member of the Ku Klux Klan when, in point of fact, they are not and have never been. They alleged I was the leader of the Klan, and we got blown out of court. I mean, it was one of the most ridiculous rulings ever. But, of course, Peter, you have had taken your lumps there as well.
Now, I have to say, we did win a case. We did win a libel case here in West Virginia against a local leftist who alleged that we'd organized an armed gang to suppress a Black Lives Matter demonstration. Now, there was a Black Lives Matter demonstration here in Brooklyn, and it was overwhelmed by a tremendous reaction of locals, actually a motorcycle club locally, who gathered around it and shouted down. But we had nothing to do with it. And the judge said, you've got to show that if you're going to allege this, you've got to show that there's actually a connection between BDAIR and this motorcycle club. And there was no connection, so she threw it out of court, and the guy had to settle. Well, this is West Virginia. This is, in New York State or in Michigan, I'm not sure that would have happened. I mean, your case was equally open and shut, and that Michigan court just made up law. It was a scandalous what happened to you.
Well, that's the thing.
It really makes you, you know... The whole damn thing is coming apart.
You look at the system. The system is what I call, that is an all-encompassing term for each of the institutions of power, be it media, academia, government, the courts, even the churches now to a large degree. All of the systems now are criminally corrupt. However, there are always exceptions and outliers, and that's what we're talking about in the cases of the McCloskeys. You know, the Letitia James and Alvin Bragg and all of these people should be immediately disbarred. This is nothing except political persecution.
And, you know, in the case of Alvin Bragg, who is the Manhattan DA who's indicted Trump on ridiculous charges, you know, Alan Dershowitz actually said in that Bragg is risking disbarment. And the reason for that is that he's doing exactly what Letitia James is doing. He's relying on outright assertions of falsehood to the court. He's lying to the judge in order to get this case move forward. And so as an officer of the court, he's breaking all kinds of regulations that lawyers are supposed to operate under. Now, whether or not they'll enforce those regulations is a different matter. But the fact is, he is, as a matter of black and white law, he's in violation of them. And
that's
and that worked with the knife on the prosecutor in Durham who was trying to lynch those Duke students
in that
rape. So it does work.
Well, I mean, look, I didn't know if you were using the term black and white law as a pun or not, because I think so much of this comes down to jurisdiction. I lost a case, an open and shut case. We should have won with a great attorney. Anytime I bring this case up, I gotta do a tip of the hat to Kyle Bristow, a phenomenal lawyer, phenomenally argued my case there. But that should have been an open and shut win. We lost in Detroit, but you won in West Virginia, and that's the thing. I think you can sometimes, even though the system
and
is criminally corrupt.
And of course, Jared won, you know. Well, you know, if I can just interrupt you, you know,
sure.
The state of Tennessee, which of course is controlled by Republicans, you know.
Jared did win to have the conferences
Jared.
There.
They tried to stop Jared from having this conference, which is coming up in August. Montgomery Bell by forcing them to pay the security costs. Now, of course, that's all been litigated in the past, and they should never have brought that case because the civil rights era made it very clear the state has to protect people in these situations, and he won there. Jared won there.
But I don't know. You know what, Peter? I'll tell you. I don't know if Jared wins that case in San Francisco. I mean, even though the law is open and shut. I mean, again,
no,
I think you're sort of agreeing with me there, is that the jurisdiction matters. Jared won that case in Tennessee. He lost his case against Twitter in California. You've won some. We win some, lose some, don't we? But that's the thing. And then, you know, but here's Trump in New York.
The other thing that gets me about this, and it goes to what Jared, you're having Jared on next, aren't you? And he's going to talk about how he arrives in Zurich or wherever it was and finds he can't go on to this conference because the Schengen area ban, part of the European Union, they've banned him for completely fallacious reasons. It was a 3-year ban, and they extended it to 5 years. He didn't know and didn't tell him. So the only way he can find out is if he shows up in Zurich and he's made to go back. Now, this is an example of another thing which is true in our case in New York. They completely disregard all norms, all normal courtesy between lawyers and so on. I mean, is your music coming up?
It is coming up, and I'll tell you, this is, I look and
well,
I'm aghast.
Basically, they just disregard, they don't just disregard ethical standards, they disregard all kinds of normal courtesy between lawyers. Because
we're going to tell you.
Complete contempt and complete arrogance.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll tell you what you can do to help Peter Brimelow next.
This is James Edwards, your host of The Political Cesspool. Folks, I want you to subscribe to the American Free Press, America's last real newspaper. Against all odds, AFP has and continues to publish a populist, independent print newspaper with an unparalleled track record. Founded by a dedicated group of experienced patriots, AFP pulls no punches and tackles the most controversial and pressing issues facing America from an America First perspective. I've worked with the American Free Press since even before the beginning of TPC. Now that's something. You can subscribe to the print edition by visiting AmericanFreePress.net today or simply pick up a handy digital edition subscription. However you do it, subscribe to the American Free Press, America's last real newspaper, by visiting AmericanFreePress.net or by calling 1-888-699-NEWS, AmericanFreePress.net.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
One more segment with Peter Brimelow, VDare.com, and here's how we're going to play it. I want you to know that the focus of this segment is to, we'll remind you about the VDare Summer Conference, which is coming up, how you can sign up, how you can be there, how you can be in the company and in the presence of the great Peter Brimelow. We're also going to tell you how you can help VDare as they face this current assault. But before we do that, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about Peter Brimelow, and I'm going to tell Peter something from me to him that I want you to hear. We're going to get to all of that in just a second, but obviously the overall topic this hour is lawfare. We saw it in the Charlottesville civil trial. We saw it with the Trump arrest and indictment in New York, the E. Jean Carroll situation, how that played out. Trump will still be indicted in Atlanta. That you just hide and watch. That's coming up later this year. The January 6th, It can be criminal, it can be civil, it doesn't matter. The goal is to ruin and destroy financially, if not put you in prison. The guy, by the way, that's another great feature by our friend Neil Kumar for VDare.com this week. Richard Barnett, the man who put his feet on Nancy Pelosi's desk, that'll cost you 4.5 years, sir. 4.5 years for putting his feet on her desk. And believe me, he knows that people can burn down cities with absolute immunity. You have Stuart Rhodes and some of the Proud Boys. 18 years for Stuart Rhodes for the so-called insurrection and seditious conspiracy, sedition. I wouldn't want to be Daniel Penny right now in New York. People always say, well, you know, no black man in the South could have gotten a fair trial with an all-white jury. Would you want to be a white man now with an all-non-white jury in a place like New York or Atlanta? I ask you that question, and you look at the places where people like yours truly and Jared Taylor and Peter Brimelow have had some success and some losses. You look at the jurisdictions. There is something to be said about that. But right now, VDare is facing a certain crucible, I think. And let me give you a little bit more about the background of Peter Brimelow, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to know this. Born in England, Peter came to the United States to attend Stanford Graduate School of Business. He then spent 4 decades as a financial journalist, working for a number of prominent publications, including, listen to this, The Wall Street Journal, Barron's, Fortune, Forbes, and MarketWatch. Now, he did, of course, go on to write Alienation, as we mentioned, before launching VDare on Christmas Eve of 1999. But the point is, Peter Brimelow didn't need any of this. We need Peter Brimelow more than he needed the cause. And he's done more for the cause than the cause has done for him. And that's one of the things I love about being able to talk to people like Peter Brimelow and Jared Taylor. They could have done anything. If Peter Brimelow had stayed in the respectable conservative lane with Larry Kudlow, he'd be at all the cocktail parties. He wouldn't have this lawfare by Letitia James being covered. He'd just been a good little Republican. If he hadn't told the truth about immigration, he wouldn't have had any of this trouble. He would have had all the money in the world, all the prestige. But Peter, you know, you did it for a cause greater than ourselves. Why did you do it?
My
you
first
didn't
wife
need
used to ask me that question. You know what, Jez, I think we have children the same age, don't we? In spite of my advanced years.
We do.
I have children with my wife much younger than I do. What's going to happen to them when this country becomes majority non-white, when it ceases to be America? Ultimately, that's what motivates us. The other thing is, you know, I guess I'm just an immigrant doing a dirty job. It just really got on my nerves. A dirty job the Americans won't do. It really got on my nerves that this country has been transformed in such a ridiculous way, absurd way, and you weren't supposed to talk about it. So that's why in 1992 I wrote this big cover story for National Review, Time to Rethink Immigration, and then that became Alienation in 95. And for a brief period there in the 90s, you know, National Review was on the side of the angels in the immigration debate, and then, of course, Bill Buckley stabbed us in the back. And it took us nearly 20 years to get the issue back into politics. And, of course, those 20 years may have proved to be decisive, but we have to continue to fight.
Well, 20 years ago, it was a different world. I mean, you know, we talk about the 50s being the halcyon days of the American experiment, but when I was coming of age, when I was coming into my adulthood in the late 90s and early 2000s, I mean, the Confederate flag still flew atop the South Carolina State House. I mean, it was a different world even as recently as 20 years ago. And it's not to say that there aren't some things that are going on now that put us in better position for future success than we're going on then, because I do believe that there are, but that's a different topic for another program. But anyway, Peter, let's refocus now.
I think one of the functions we have at VDA. .com is to point out, to bring ideas into the debate. There are lots of things that the historic American nation could do if it was in the situation it was in 2016, when they had control of the executive branch and the legislative branch. Above all, abolish birthright citizenship. That's even more important than getting control of the border, because you know, it's going to take a lot of work to deport these people. And Trump's absolutely right that there should be a deportation force. But they must not be allowed to enter the political nation. They must not be allowed to enter the political nation and vote. And the way to do that is to stop their children from being American citizens and automatically getting the vote.
Even in this late stage of...
And there's a lot of other things if you want me to rant on about this. There's a lot of other things that could be done. There's immigration. Those are immigration. There's a reason why these populations shouldn't have made to leave. And I would make birthright citizenship of abolition retroactive. Anybody who came in after a certain point certainly all these people who came in whose parents came in under the Biden brush, which is obviously impeachable. He should be impeached for what he's done at the border. But none of those should become citizens. So all kinds of things that could be done. It's just this question of the will.
And of course,
and it's also a question of just being knowing about it. I mean, my observation of Republicans is that they just don't think a lot, and they just don't have ideas a lot. The Democrats sit around thinking of nasty things that they can do to their enemies all the time. But the Republicans just want to go out and play golf. So I don't play golf. so I sit around thinking of nasty things we can do to them.
Well, of course, even in this late stage of American decline, if whites would vote as a bloc, if whites had enough sense, as much sense as all of the other racial groups have, we could still turn it around today.
That's the rub. Just look what's happened here in West Virginia. I mean, 30 years ago, this was an overwhelmingly Democratic state. It's a state that's 95% white. And now it's overwhelmingly Republican. Morgan County, where Berkeley Springs, the capital, is located, Trump carried it by 40 points. And it's overwhelmingly white state, 95% white. And, you know, it's desperately poor, James. You know what the rural South is like. It's desperately poor, but they're still flying Trump flags.
And my people.
They just, at some very, very deep level, they realize that the Democrat Party hates them. And so their response is to leave. And they've just left overwhelmingly. And I can't say because the West Virginia...
Well, they need a champion.
I don't think
they need
do.
A... They need a champion, right. Peter,
A great thing that the Western, right.
Well, they've got one with you, but this is the point. They've got one with you. I mean, they need one as a presidential candidate. They need one as a president or as a representative or as a senator who's going to say, yes, I stand for the dispossessed majority. I stand for the people who vote for me. But they do have champions, and that's why we can't spare people like Peter Brimelow and Jared Taylor, V-Dare and American Renaissance, back-to-back on the program tonight. But... Peter, with about 5 minutes remaining, maybe a little less than that, I want to refocus and just say this, two things. Sign up for VDARE's 2023 summer conference. You go to VDARE.com. You can sign up for a cancel-proof conference within the stunning stone walls of the Berkeley Springs Castle in rural Berkeley Springs, West Virginia. You'll be able to meet Peter Brimelow, Steve Saylor, James Kirkpatrick, and other great patriots. So you can do that at VDARE.com. But the main reason we had Peter on tonight was to talk about this lawfare as it is afflicting VDARE and Peter. And this whole thing, I love what the left does. Even their interns are making more than, you know, they're making six figures. Their lowest level grunts are making six figures, and then their principals are making millions and millions of dollars. Well, Peter's got a castle. VDARE's got a castle. It's a castle that it's a great buy. I mean, what Lydia did there in finding this property, you couldn't get an apartment. We said this earlier. You couldn't get an apartment in Washington, D.C. for that, and you can have venues there, and it's the VDARE headquarters and their offices and all of that. And I read these things. Well,
We're only 2 hours from the U.S. Capitol. Anytime you want to launch an insurrection, it's a state.
Don't get me. My blood, Peter.
Maybe I shouldn't.
Don't get me tempted. Well, he's joking. That's tongue in cheek, but you know it's in my blood. So my ancestors did. The left will say, you know, Dissident X is raking in the money on Odyssey or BitChute. He makes like $600 in a year. Anyway, it's all trumped up. It's all bogus. But it is what's real is VDARE is under attack, and we can't spare them. We cannot spare an organization that's at the tip of our spear. And with a minute or two remaining, Peter, let people know how they can help VDARE tonight in response to this attack by the Attorney General of the state of New York.
Well, honestly, the best thing is to go to VDARE.com/donate and donate to our general fund, which is still tax deductible. They haven't gotten around to challenging our tax deductibility right now. And that will enable us to pay writers and our support staff, which is what we desperately need to do right now. Letitia James has driven us to the wall, so we need everybody's help.
Well, you know, we always say when we lose a credit card processor, when we lose a social media platform. You know, it's a threat. It pushes you back. But this really does.
Now, weirdly.
But this is something else. This is something next level.
We still have a credit card processor because we threaten them with legal action, and that seems to stall them. Of course, they'll take it away eventually. By the way, did you realize that Paul Fromm has been banned from Twitter? I just realized that.
Yes. In fact, we talked about that. We were all banned on the same day. Paul Fromm, yours truly, right. Kevin McDonald, Tom Sunich, and many others all banned at the same day at the same time. So,
now, not us. Yep. We're still on Twitter.
Well, God bless you. I hope you can stay there. It's also random.
Are you on Gab, James? Are you Gavin?
No, I'm a technophobe, you know, Peter. But people have been telling me.
Andrew Tobin's a great guy. He's a great guy.
Oh, I know. And listen, so are you. And I want to encourage you, everyone, vdare.com/donate. We cannot spare Peter Brimelow and VDare. They are trying to put them out. That is what this is all about. They didn't do anything wrong. We know they didn't do anything wrong. The people attacking them know they didn't do anything wrong. Letitia James knows that. It is all about trying to take them out. And we have to stand with our champions. We have to stand with our people in the ring. Peter Brimelow, right there, always. It's been there for over 20 years as one of our greatest spokesmen and representatives. Folks, vdare.com. Sign up for the conference. Help them out. Read about the attack they're facing and stand with them. Peter, we love you. God bless you. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, James. See you at Amran.
You got it.